Yeah, so as Dave shared, I just really want to share what's on my heart this morning. I want to get you to know kind of Ruth and I a little bit and just to hear our spiritual journey. And really, the title behind me you see on the screen is really, I would say my story is characterized really in two words, rescue and redemption, and what God has done in my life. And so just to start off, I grew up, I got a picture of it, on a hobby farm in the country of Ohio. I grew up on 25 acres in a small town, Ohio. And so I would say it characterized this. Everything was driven by the local high school. Everyone loved the high school sports, and everything was oriented around the school. I grew up with two parents, a mom and a dad, and sisters, and they took us to church pretty much every Sunday. But as I said, everything was driven around the local sports atmosphere. And so everything was about the high school football team, and which I was actually a part of. I played football and basketball. And my parents, we were pretty well off. But what's interesting about our household is we have one volume, and that was loud. As soon as you walk in the door, our family just tends to get louder. And so we just tend to get loud. But some of that comes from my parents' background is they both attended West Point, the United States Military Academy. And so something unique a little bit besides the loudness in my household was also there was really an immense pressure for my sisters and I to succeed academically, to succeed athletically. And so there was really just this immense pressure. And I'm very thankful for my parents and for my upbringing. But there really was just this drive to performance and just to live up to it. And really growing up, I didn't have a great relationship with my immediate family. Some of you may find yourself there. I just don't have a great relationship with them now or then, but I do now. But nevertheless, I alluded to is we grew up kind of in a Christian family, and I was baptized at age 9. But honestly, I really didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what it was like to walk with God, and because I didn't know what it was like to walk with God, it really showed in my teenage years. And before I knew it, my life really trended downward fast. Before I knew it, I was really in an identity crisis. And what I like to characterize is living two lives. I had one foot. Really what I would say is the world. I did whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, however I wanted. And the next life was I pretended to be the good Christian boy on Sunday. I was able to put on that face and really a fakeness. And I was steeped in sexual sin, selfishness, competitiveness, bitterness, really against God and my family. And I wasn't happy with where I was in life. And everything that I thought was hidden really in this life, The sexual sin, the selfishness, the competitiveness, the bitterness, eventually became exposed. And God really brought that out and exposed it to people in my world, in my life. And I didn't like it. I wasn't happy. And I really couldn't wrap my mind around why. Why would God do that? And so I sought destruction against myself, my family, and really I ran from God. And almost a year and a half from my world's crashing down on me, and after really much pain and heartache I brought on myself, I was invited to this Christian youth conference by a friend, and I went, and I had heard about it, and I was like, all right, I'll go. And when I got there, God really did a supernatural work, because as one of the sessions closed, it was about my junior year, the hardened exterior that I had built up, just this hardness, this callousness of my heart, God broke in and broke through. And he showed me something that I was always told or I kind of knew, but I never really believed. And he showed me that he was love and that he had a different plan for my life and a real different identity than what I thought I had. And he broke in, and he showed me that he is love, and he welcomes me into his holy presence. And God was revealing this to me. I just really couldn't help but break down, confess my sin. And for the first time in my life, in really many years, I finally felt a supernatural peace. And I would say that Jesus finally became Lord of my life. And he saved me. And he showed me what it meant to really be redeemed and to not fear the darkness in my past, to not be ashamed of it, and to know that he wants to shape me and mold me for a future. And so since that moment of my junior year of high school, God's been taking me on a journey. I mean, it's not been an easy journey. Because if you guys know, maybe some of you have pasts like mine, that we have things built up in our life. We have bad habits and poor choices, and there's consequences. And so what God kind of has to do is he has to strip that away. And so for me, what that looked like is I maintained control of my life. See, my plan for my life was to go to Ohio State on a scholarship to study economics and law. That's what I wanted to do. But lo and behold, God had a different plan for my life. And so I went to another youth conference a year later, and God stepped in and said, hey, this is your plan. This is your control of your life, but I got a different plan. And so really there, he called me into ministry, and this rocked my world. Because like I said, all the plans for my life, what I had set out to do, what I said I was going to do, was dismantled. So my parents' plans and identity that they had worked so hard to establish and root in me was gone. And so I scrambled with what to do. Who was I now that this was my plan and it's no longer there? And so I scrambled and I got a call from Kentucky Christian University and said, hey, we hear you're a pretty good athlete. Why don't you come play football and study ministry? And so by God's grace, he allowed something really that I had success in high school to be part of his restoration process. I mean, and something like I shared, I met my wife. I met her amazing family. And during that time, God chipped away at old habits, really dismantled a poor identity and truths, and showed me what a life of following Christ is like and about. And so Ruth and I were married, and we have two kids, Xavier and Mia. I got a picture of some different pictures of them. And he took us to Lexington, where I did student ministry for a couple years. And I just really want to say, we got some smiling pictures of Xavier doing a puzzle and Mia being mischievous. We don't have it all together. You see smiles and you see a happy family, but we're not perfect. We're still trying to figure it out, what it looks like to walk with God on a day in and day out basis. And really what I want to say today is God is a gracious God who desperately loves us and will use our brokenness and redeem us for his glory. And really that's where my heart comes from for ministry and for even considering coming out here. It's to help others experience that redemption, that rescue from their brokenness. And so this journey has brought us to Vancouver, Washington. And you may ask, how do two people from Kentucky end up all the way out here? Now, some of you sassy people may say, well, duh, an airplane. But honestly, the driving reason that brought us here is because of Jesus and what he's done in our life and how he shaped us and molded us. And the rest of my time today, I just want to share with you some good news. I mean, the good news is this. Whether you call yourself Christian or you're trying to figure out what Christianity is all about, there is good news, there is hope. And I think it's simply this. God himself has come to rescue and redeem you through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Yes. Simple as that. Rescue and redeem. And this guy, Paul, in the Bible, he writes this letter to a church of people he's never met. And of people he's never met. And I kind of find that in similar, I don't know you all. I'm getting to know some of you, but I don't know you well. And Paul kind of writes this letter to a church that has been planted, that's been started by someone else. And he's heard of them and the cool things that God is doing in their church and in their life. And in fact, at the beginning of this letter, he focuses on something really important. And then what he does is he spends the rest of the letter off of that central focal point, just kind of unpacking that. And he spends the most time focusing on this good news of Jesus. And so I want to read his words to this church about the good news of Jesus. And so if you have a Bible on your table, if you want to know where this passage is, it's on page 821, but it'll be on the words on the screen behind me. And the words of this comes from Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. It's this letter. And Paul says, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And we have redemption the forgiveness of sins in him. Paul's acknowledging this new identity that we have in Christ. And really the focal point of this is those last two words, in him, in Christ. See, when you have faith in who Jesus is, that it really is his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection that can save you and bring rescue and redemption to your life, when you are then in Christ through faith, it radically changes your identity. I like to think of it this way, really because Paul experienced a radical transformation himself. This is a dude who killed Christians. He hated Christianity. He wanted them to die, but yet something happened that changed the course of his life. And it's what he says is in him. And I think it's two simultaneous images. This saving and bestowal. This rescue and redemption. Really what I would consider withdrawal from the domain of darkness. And a down payment to experience salvation. And so, essentially, Paul is giving us this framework to live by. That we're rescued and transferred from this domain of darkness. And then our new identity, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins in him. And I like to say it this way. Because of who God is, determines what God has done. And what God has done determines who you are. And then based on who you are and your identity, shapes everything you do and the life after. See, in reality, the world tells us it's the opposite way. The world and everything really around us and even in us wants to define us by what we do. Think about it. When you introduce yourself, people ask you, hey, what do you do? Or maybe you're a father or you're a mother. Or, hey, I'm an engineer. Or I preach or I teach or I'm a teacher or I'm a social worker. And we define our lives by really what we do. And then we trace that backwards and we think that makes us who we are. But you know what's fascinating? And I think what's sad about this is the world gives us the lesser identity. And it really wants us to make everything in our life about what we do. And as I shared in some of my story, God had to really shape this in me. And the world and really everything around us and in us wants to make us about how we perform. To carry it out on the string in front of you, to chase it, to try harder. But eventually it won't satisfy and it won't last. And we've been rescued from the dominion of darkness. And really what that is the way of living that's defined and bound by what you do. And really, eventually, we're crushed by the thing we do. Because see, even good things don't last and can be snatched away from you. Maybe you find your identity in being a father or an athlete. Or maybe it's what you do in achieving success and money. And that's what you're chasing after. And that's what you're driving your life towards. But you know what? That can be taken away. And the approval of others, wealth, can be snatched. And Paul says we're freed from this crushing weight of sin, this framework. We're rescued from it. I want to define sin. I used the word sin there. I want to define that. And it's basically reorienting your way around your life and making it about us and me instead of God. Sin is living my life, my way for my fame and glory. Sin is rejecting or ignoring God and the world he created and rebelling against him and living without reference to him. And so sin is distance creating and crushing. And so why is sin so distance-creating and crushing? Because see, when you find your identity in things you do, you have to keep doing them to continue to achieve that identity. And every time you do something, a good work or action or perform a certain way, it's like picking up a rock. And you got to keep picking up more rocks and you just keep going. And eventually the weight of work, the weight of performance, the weight of trying to achieve, to define yourself by the things that you do, eventually becomes so heavy that honestly it just crushes you and drags you down. And that's fearful. And that's scary. And some of you are desperate to be free from this crushing identity. It's killing you. It's crushing you. And so you keep picking up things to try to run the rat race of life. and your life is consumed with just do, do, do. And God says, just be. And some of you hear this and you say, well, I just want to be free from that. I want to be free from it and say, well, I won't be defined by what I do. And I'm going to seek to define myself another way. And so you try to define yourself another way. You be free from the labels. And so you picture this, okay, this is what I want to be. But in order to achieve there, how you get there is by doing stuff. And so you're right back in that cycle of do, trying to achieve, to perform. And you go do things to try to define them in a way that you want to be fine. But guess what? The good news is that Christ lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to free us from the weight of performance. And He gives us a new identity. And we haven't done anything to earn it. See, you're not the sum total of what you do, have done, or even will do, but what Christ has done on the cross. Let me say that again. You are not the sum total of what you do, have done, or will do, but what Christ has done on the cross. See, that's what makes Christianity so unique and so compelling. See, every other religion, founder or guru, says you have to do things. Christianity says that all these other world religions and philosophical systems and enlightenment or approval success, everything teaches what you have to do. But only Christianity primarily teaches that things are already done on the cross. You just have to believe it. And you have to trust that it's done. See, both religious and irreligious systems are aimed at personal success or fulfillment. They hold out this certain goal, this certain picture that you have to chase after and list those steps to get there. And everyone tries to pave their way to that performance. That's really, even ourselves internally, we think we just got to do and strive and get there. But the more we strive, the more we work, the more we do, it actually creates greater distance. Because Christ has said, you can't get there on your own. You can't achieve satisfaction on your own. You can't achieve fulfillment on your own. You can't achieve peace on your own. The only way that does it is by what Christ has done on the cross. And we need Jesus. To go back to that last slide, it says, God Himself has come to rescue and redeem you through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God did it. You haven't done anything. And He says, you're mine. You're a child. You're loved. You're my kid. You're forgiven, passage says. You are no longer in darkness, but you're now light. And if we're honest, we long for that freedom. We long to be free from the constraints and the pressures of action and performance in the world. And honestly, it's hard to wrap our minds around because it's so contrary to everything we've ever been taught. It's so contrary to what our bosses tell us, to what our friends tell us, to what maybe even our family has told us. You got to do this. You got to stop doing that. You got to be this way. Christ says, rest in what I've done. I've rescued you. I've paid the penalty for your sin. So just trust it. Just believe it. Jesus has redeemed us from finding our identity in performance. And that's salvation. And if we're honest, there are people in your life who are being crushed by trying to do and perform and work and find satisfaction and fulfillment and approval in this world. And in the lives of others. There are people in your life who are being crushed. And maybe today you find yourself and you're being crushed. Good news is, you can be free from it. You can be rescued from it. All you have to do is put faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. You have to trust that He paid the penalty and that He has really transferred you from darkness to light. So my challenge and encouragement to you, Dave and Lori have been talking about Easter coming up. My challenge, my encouragement to you is you have people in your life who are just being crushed. They're tired. They're worn out. They need some hope. They need something worth holding on to. They're tired of just doing and working and seeing no real internal peace. And my plea to you this morning, share the good news of Jesus. Invite them to Easter service. Be love, be peace, be different, and say, and share your story. I shared initially my story and about what God has done in my life and how that's brought freedom and how that's brought a peace. You got people in your life who need to hear what Christ is doing in your life. Even if you're just kind of exploring it, even if you're uncertain and you're not really sure what that means and what that looks like, but there's something there that you feel Christ calling that says, you are loved, and I have loved you. And share that. Invite. Consider. So that's my challenge and encouragement to you. That because of who God is, that He is love, He has sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross in a loving way to bring rescue, redemption, and forgiveness. And you are loved, and you are His child. And so because of that, you can love others, you can experience freedom, and you can live faithfully, passionately, and purposefully. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you yourself have come to rescue and redeem us, that you have paid the penalty on the cross, that you conquered death with your resurrection. Next week, Father, we are going to celebrate that, and I just thank you for that victory, for that hope. God, my prayer is that the people here realize that you have paved a way for them, that all they have to do is experience faith and trust in your finished work on the cross. Thank you for them. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.